Do you count yourself as someone who can easily remember a face? Well, you could be what's called a super recogniser. 3 years ago, researchers from the University of New South Wales set up an online test so people could check their recognition skills. Today, the researchers are releasing the first results with some intriguing findings. One of the researchers joins us now, Dr. James Dunn. Hello and welcome.
Hello, thanks for having me.
More than 25,000 people, I see, have taken the test since 2017, which is really quite a number. What have you discovered?
Yeah, what we've discovered is that this test is particularly challenging, and because it is so challenging, no one has able to get 100% on our test. The highest score we've seen is just over 90%. And one of the things that we've seen is that there's quite a lot of variability in even super recognizers. So even though they're all exceptional, some are better than others.
And what is a super recognizer? Is it a skill that can be learned, or do you think it's genetic, it's in the DNA?
Unfortunately, I have any bad news to think they want to become a super recognizer, because it seems like there's not much hope for them. Research suggests that super recognition is genetic, so it's something coded into our DNA and not something that's learned.
I mean, many people say quite the reverse. They're not good with faces. So is that something that can be overcome?
There's a little bit of research to say we can train people who are poor at face recognition, maybe just a small increase of 5%, but it seems mostly you're stuck with the way you are.
Okay, so what did you find that you didn't expect, if I can ask you that way? What patterns did you find in, well, that's a very good sample size, isn't it? 25,000 of people who came forward to test themselves.
It's a fantastic turnout so far. We still think there's so many more people out there, and in particular, we are really interested to see if we can the real limits of this ability. As I sort of said before, no one has quite scored 100% in our test yet, and just 11 people have scored over 90%. So we kind of think there are some even more super recognizers out there, the top of the top. So our next goal is really to try and find that like Einstein-level talent in face recognition.
I mean, there were existing facial recognition tests like the Cambridge Face Memory Test, I read. So why did you set up this one?
Yeah, it's quite common for people, or at least for super recognizers, not for ordinary people, to get 100% on other tests like the Cambridge Face Memory Test. So we designed this test to be particularly challenging to really to help discriminate super recognizers from the ordinary people, but also allows us to look at the top tier of super recognizers and separate those who are exceptional from those who are one in a million, basically.
And one key discovery you've made has to do with the way super recognizers track the face, particularly the eye movements, eye tracking. Give us more information about that, please.
Yeah, it's still early days. This is the sort of cutting edge of what we've been doing in the lab, but we have now started looking at what strategies super recognizers are using when recognizing faces. So we've been using new eye tracking technology to look at what features they pay attention to. And it seems like there is no consistent pattern across lots of different super recognizers, but each one seems to be different in what information they're extracting. But they seem to do it more quickly than an ordinary person.
And do they have different brains, these super recognizers?
Yeah. So something we have known for quite some time is that face recognition does have dedicated brain structures, dedicated for processing the information. And some of the very early research suggested that they had activity in those regions when viewing faces, that those brain structures were more active for those people.
And which part of the brain are you talking about?
So this the brain structure in particular is called the fusiform face area, and it's located basically just above the ear on the right hand side, around there.
And I'm intrigued by this. Does, if they're so alert, as it were, to faces, does it mean that everyone feels familiar to a super recognizer? Can they look and do they just never forget these key things, key factors of a face?
So they do forget faces. As I said, like even with this test, they're not getting 100%. So they do forget some people, but they do describe when speaking to them that this is something that is automatic, that they can't switch off even if they wanted to. And there's also this feeling like if they don't know why a person's familiar, that it really bothers them until they figure out why.
It must be. Is it tiring for them?
It's something that's quite automatic. Just like when if we put words on the screen, you have to read them. For them, they see a face, they almost have to try and recognise it if they can.
So they certainly don't see this as a disability. Are they proud of it, or they've just taken it for granted? It's a skill that they've had all their lives.
Yeah, a lot of them don't realise they are super recognised until they do a test or they talk to somebody else and they realise, wait, I recognise this person but you don't. So they do love it. Some of them really have embraced it as part of who they are, and you know, they're their go-to person in their friendship circle when recognising celebrities or friends, long-lost friends and that kind of thing.
One person in your study, Georgie, mentioned recognising someone and the situation in which they'd met only briefly 10 years earlier. Does this suggest that super recognisers not only have extraordinary recall of faces, but context too? Do they have, in effect, photographic memories of the whole context within which they met this person or not?
That is a really interesting question. The simple answer is a photographic memory for faces couldn't really explain what super recognisers are actually able to do. Because what super recognizers are doing, they will see your face as it currently is, but then they're able to recognize you in your baby photos or even when you're, say, 30 years older, in the case of Georgie. So in that way, what they're doing is they're connecting real changes in someone's face to one instance.
Really extraordinary, isn't it? So that they can see something in a baby's face and then extrapolate from someone who grows up.
Absolutely, yeah. And so that's the kind of thing which we find means that it just can't be photographic. They can't just simply taking a snapshot. There has to be something about connecting those two instances together.
Are these people sort of primarily employed by, or do they sort of be sought out by the police or intelligence agencies? I mean, there's obviously some real application of this type of skill.
Yeah, absolutely. There has been some interest in employing super recognizers. Most organizations that I know of have employed from within. So unfortunately, if you find out you're a super recognizer, then they're probably not going to hire you on the spot. If you're already working for an organization, they're more likely to hire you. But we also know that super recognizers, they can be found in any in professions. They sometimes find it's helpful in their profession and sometimes it's not. So we know there are artists or people who find it useful to recognise clients, and other people are just an accountant or an engineer and they don't find it maybe as useful as those other people.
Because people like Georgie, I note here in my notes about your study, only 2% of the world's population are really endowed with those sorts of skills that Georgie has. You know, like there's one story that she was in Paris in the 90s. She briefly watched a professional photographer taking pictures of kids playing in a small park. And 10 years later, she was having breakfast in a Byron Bay backpackers and asked the man next to her whether he was a photographer and if he'd ever taken pictures of children playing in a Paris park, and he had. So, I mean, this is really sort of uncanny.
Yeah.
But does it tell you about does it help you in other ways about research into how our brains function?
Absolutely. So we are seen as humans, face recognition seems being our perfect level expertise. Like everyone is at least somewhat with familiar faces. So it's like this golden system for us. So we hope by understanding how super recognizers come about and the structures underlying and why they're so super, that we can actually understand how other types of visual expertise forms. So how do chess grandmasters become experts at recognizing patterns in the board? How does bird watchers become experts in discriminating birds? We're hoping that understanding this face recognition system, we can generalize it to other types of expertise.
How interesting. Thank you very much indeed for outlining all that for us.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. James Dunn, a cognitive psychologist from the University of New South Wales.